Welcome to the Effective Engineering Manager podcast.
It's good to be here. Slava, it's your time today. What would you like to talk about?
Today, I'd like to talk about the guided self-study.
So what's guided self-study? That's an interesting topic. Can you tell me a little bit about your thoughts on that?
So yes, this is about how we elevate, or how can we elevate teams' skills and abilities without spending a lot of time on this, right? And it's really not that easy if you think about it, right? You need somehow to get them there. And classical approaches such as teaching don't work, right? Because in teaching, you have to have a classroom, you have to have lectures, you have to have note taking, you have to have homework, you have to have no homework checking, right? And you have to have exams, right? And who has time for this?
Right. Yeah. It's I think it's a very interesting topic. I've struggled with it as a manager, team member. I've also struggled with it trying to get folks on my team to, continue to educate themselves, learn new things. I think one of the big challenges is you often have folks who want to learn and love topics. You know, you might be even in management topics or technical topics, a lot of people come to you and say, oh, I love this. I want to learn more about this. But because work becomes so dominant and, we're constantly context switching, those things always get pushed to the back burner. People don't create time and space for it. And then you kind of lose interest. I'll kind of equate it to a lot of times when I go to tech conferences, I come back with so much great stuff. I really want to spend time on this and this and this. And, a week later, it's already fizzled or kind of moved to the far back of my mind. So interested to hear some good approaches for how to do good self-guided study.
Yeah. Let's do it. So here are some situations when we need to elevate our team's abilities. For example, learning new technologies for engineers to support new projects or polishing existing code and infrastructure. And by the way, managers need to do that too, because they have to stay up to date on technology, and if they want to maintain technology conversations with their directs, right? And another example is developing people's careers. And if you want to elevate someone to the next level and they're eager to work on it, how do we get them there, right? And the thing is that before they can practice something, they need to acquire skill. And how can they learn something in the busy professional setting fast, and as in like in a few weeks, right? So how can we do this without spending a significant amount of time, management time, on that? And the answer that I came up with is that we get our direct reports to do most of the work. And instead of teaching, we serve as guides, right? And this is exactly what the practice of guided self-study is about. And I don't remember if I invented it myself or I picked it up somewhere. But it's here and it works. I've done it many, many times, and it just does work. And what's important is that it's not school anymore, like we just mentioned, right? And our directs are busy people with busy professional and personal lives, and even more here in the Silicon Valley. And managers may be busy even more, and there's no time to teach. And how do we do this, right? So that's what the question I was asking myself quite some time ago. And I think I've been practicing this for at least minimum for 5 years, if not more. So that's the question. How do we get our directs to the next level of the skills as engineers and managers without spending a lot of time teaching or coaching, if you want? And that's basically this approach, that the whole idea behind the guided self-study is to get your directs to learn and keep checking the progress until they're ready and they're done, right? And so there are really only two things in this process, it's very simple and very effective, maybe because it's so simple, is that they're learning and you're checking. You as a manager, you're just checking their progress and checking that they're learning, doing their learning, right? And this works because directs do all the learning work, and they're checking, and checking doesn't really take much time, right? And this approach is very powerful as a management technique, because it allows you to check the progress without investing maybe any significant amount of time. And we'll talk about it. It's maybe just maybe 5-10 minutes each one-on-one, right? And going a bit deeper, so the fundamental part of this approach, there are really three main parts, and I'll just cover them really quickly. But the most important part is the identifying the areas your directs need to develop, right? And picking up the right study material. And the second part is launching the guided self-study with them, and then just going and checking the progress through one-on-ones until they're done, right? So any thoughts, any questions?
No, I think that's great. And I think one of the points that you hit on that really is important is that, you know, if you are doing regular one-on-ones with your folks, that it's a great opportunity to dedicate a little bit of that time to, you know, following up on study, right? It's incremental. It's small enough. It's, you know, as somebody who is doing the studying, it's not overwhelming. You know, if I'm reading a book or taking a course or just learning something on my own, you know, I don't have to worry about completing it. I'm just thinking about, okay, what's my next step, right? So that I can share something next week, or, you know, what are the parts that I really enjoy? I think so. It really focuses you and takes this like large thing and really decompose it into something that's achievable with with the minimal amount of structure that helps.
Yep, good stuff. So yes, so speaking of the selection of the study materials, and I think it's one of the most important parts on top of the understanding your directs and knowing what is that they need to work on, right, is the study materials. And it's your job as a manager to identify learning resources that your direct reports are going to be using to develop new skills. And to me personally, my number one is books. And if there is a skill that I want to develop that we are going to need in the long term, right? And for engineering managers, it's most of the times emotional intelligence, management, and technology. Right, and good examples are books on cloud computing or languages, frameworks, or books on how to start, grow, and succeed as an engineering manager. Right, and the second option, which I also like a lot, is the courses as a learning material. Right, and we live in an amazing world of courses available practically on any topic. Right, and there's just a wide array of online courseware platforms, both paid and free, and all you have to do is to be wise and, you know, pick the right stuff which is right for your direct, right? And the third option, which is just as good, is the professional certification. And this works best for fundamental technologies that we use, for example, Java or whatever the cloud platform the team is using. And in case of Java, Oracle, and before it was Sun Microsystems, they set up a paid certification process that anyone can go through. And by the way, you can tell that if someone is old, if they remember that Java was born at Sun Microsystems. And I have found that the certification for foundational technology is the best, because it pushes the student to learn. Because in the end, there's an exam, and they better study hard if they want to pass, right? And another good thing about the certifications is that it's the least work for the manager and most work for the direct, right? The only work for the manager is to periodically encourage them to keep going. And usually during one-on-ones, just ask, hey, how are you? What's your target date for taking an exam? Are you making progress? And that's it. It takes literally like 60 seconds of my time during the one-on-one, right? And the directs are doing all the work because it takes maybe minimally, I would say, tens of hours of study to prepare. And I have plenty of examples when I took my direct reports through certifications. And after that, they told me that they learned through the certification so much that they never had to Google it again, right? It's just and my own example, like a few years back, maybe 15 years ago, I took Java certification at Sun Microsystems at that time, right? And I've learned really important stuff about multi-threading, for example, right? And since then, I just know it by heart, right? Never had to Google anything, right? It just works. And but it's certainly involved process. And with the certifications, it's important to tell your direct reports that the company is going to cover both study materials and the exam, right? They need to know that it's not their, you know, out of their pocket.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, especially on the certification. You know, really having an end goal in mind, such as an exam or course completion, you know, really helps drive drive it to completion. I had one question. So I think it's probably the most efficient and effective way that I've seen, you know, what you're describing with this guided self-study. And being able to advance our direct skills is always the most ideal. You know, it's the perfect balance between not spending too much time on any one topic and whatnot. So the question I have is, you know, how do you do it? What are some effective ways that you can communicate to the person you'd like to take through the guided self-study? You know, what's the process and how do you make it clear to them?
Yes, it's a good question. So first of all, it's very important is that your direct reports or your direct report has to want to do this. Because if they don't want it, it will never work because there's no motivation. And I must mention that you have to be okay with them not wanting to learn. And this shouldn't be a chore for them. There's an exception, which I'll talk about it a bit later. So first of all, like I said, I prefer not to impose the learning on the team. So they have to be interested. And usually what I do, I ask my directs, hey, so what do you want to learn? We cannot just come to work and collect the paycheck. This is not fun, right? And the software development is one of the professions where we can continue to learn new cool stuff continuously. It's a very enjoyable thing. And the second and the best option is that when there is an internal motivation, such as them wanting to get to the next career level as engineers or maybe as managers, and they will want to do it because that's something is going to take them to that next level. So this is how the conversation usually goes, that, hey, do you want to get to the next level? They say, yes, then here are the skills that I, as a manager, think that you have to have to be on the next level. And here's the path, here are the studies, here's the material, and here's the process, right? And now that's why I'm offering you this learning opportunity. And I have observed that it works great. And I've seen also motivated folks who just say, hey, this is so cool, I want to do it. But when it comes to career development, it's definitely a go-to exercise. And now there's, of course, an exception to everything with all the rules, right? And there's an exception to the don't impose rule, right? If your direct is beginning to fall behind the expectations in terms of performance or contribution and they need to catch up, then you may actually request them to take on improving a skill. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they're in trouble, but it means that if you see a bit of a gap in their capabilities, which is impacting the performance of the team, you might offer them that. And I've done it before. I mean, by the way, it's true for teams as well, because a lot of teams that I have taken on, they they had to run so fast they've given up on unit testing, for example, right? And my go-to solution to this, do a blanket unit testing guided self-study within like a month, right? Courseware, maybe a book on the topic, and usually restores this level of confidence that they need to be able to effective with unit testing.
I have a question. So how in that model, you know, when you're having these discussions with your direct and, you know, asking them what they want to learn and you kind of build this plan, how do you, you know, a lot of times the direct will say, okay. And they sometimes think they will actually start working on it during their working hours. Do you allow some time during the week where they can work on his guided self-study, or is this something that you expect them to do on their own outside of work hours? And how do you have that discussion?
It's a great question. And my approach is very simple. They have to be able to study during the work hours, right? And in fact, I've seen many times when people go home, they know that they should be doing it for the career, their career, or because it's just a needed skill. But, you know, they're busy at work, then they're busy at home, and there is no time, right? And when I see something like this, when I see that, hey, there's no progress, I actually ask them to pick up 1 or 2 hours on their schedule, block this on their calendar, and lock themselves in a room and actually do and study, right? It's totally have to be, they should be able to do this at work. And it's very simple because this is for work.
So it's not wrong to do some of the study during work. Actually, it's helpful.
It's absolutely not wrong. And in fact, I would encourage, right? And if someone is just, you know, don't feel that they have time at home, they should totally be able to do it at work. And absolutely. Yeah,
that's a great point. I think that sometimes gets lost. I think some of the unsuccessful times when I've seen managers try to do this, you know, they expect their directs to do it off hours, right? Take a course and do all this homework. No, do it at night, you know. And I think you bring up a very valid point that people's lives are busy. This is not school anymore. You know, we have to create an environment for learning during work, you know, when we're in the office. And a couple hours a week is certainly a great trade-off for, you know, keeping people motivated, fresh, learning something new, and, you know, maybe kind of taking a break from their normal work. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah. And you know what? As a part of my management philosophy, I'm really against people working off the work hours, right? This is just not okay because we work to live, we don't live to work. And people have to be able to come to their families, come home, enjoy things that they like to do outside of work. And I've been in orgs where it isn't not only encouraged, but also enforced that people come home, you know, get a quick bite and keep working. That's just wrong. Whatever the motivations, but personally, I think it's not okay. Anyway, so just going back to the topic of how to make it work. So we just talked about picking the study material, right? And now how do we do this, right? And I do believe that's the best platform for these conversations are one-on-ones. And there are two reasons. Number one, each one-on-one has to have space and time for developing your directs, right? It just has to have it. It can be just informal conversations, but it has to be something, right? And it's also a dedicated time, right? When you are there for them, and this is when you can actually talk about it, right? So like I said, I mean, sometimes people say no, and that's okay. People just sometimes just too busy, and but at the same time, my experience, maybe 90% of people whom I offered this approach and offered them to use my help to get to the next level, next skill levels, they take it. And I'm just thinking that the only times I've seen it not working when people thought that they were already good at something and they didn't need any study in that area. So anyway, and I think they know it's not academic, right? Because whatever they're learning is directly connected with what they're doing at work. And this, they know that it's expanding their skills or developing their management skills. And now sometimes there are cases when they have to take on the academic stuff, right? And a good example is when I'm transitioning someone's career from an engineering manager to a manager, right? And there are foundational things that they must learn. And for example, fundamentals of management. And usually I suggest a couple of books by Peter Drucker, who is the father of the modern school of management. And my favorite of all the classical ones is The Effective Executive. And I just give it to them and explain that, hey, this is really fundamental stuff and you have to know it. And you have to know it in order to understand everything else that comes after this. Right. And same, by the way, same true with the guided study of technology. I've, for example, I've just I've been taking a team through refresh of the object-oriented programming, because I just saw how they were really struggling with basic concepts. Right. Well, there's a good opportunity to go and, you know, go and make it work. Right. So that's sort of on the platform for one-on-ones at the platform.
Yeah, that's it's really informative. And certainly managers, you know, when you're growing folks into management roles and giving them study material, one of the things you're really looking for is to see how well they take initiative in taking that role seriously. Because when they are a manager, no one's going to really be telling them what to do. They're just going to be expected to do it. And so I think that's a great process you laid out to just even evaluate whether they're ready. So great. So you laid out the process here for kind of how you get started. So we give them the book and the individual sits in front of the TV, maybe watches Netflix, flip through some pages and declare it done. But how do we as their manager make sure they're actually learning? How do we know this is being productive?
Yes, and this is the second fundamental part of this exercise, which is checking on their progress. And by the way, it's actually an even broader thing for every manager, which is called go and check, and we'll talk about it later. So what I do is I ask my directs to take notes when they're reading and bring notes to the next one-on-one. And what I ask them is to come up with the five things they've learned since the last time we met. And to be honest, and it's not even to be honest, it's just the part of this process is that I don't care what they've learned. And it can be just literally anything. I don't know what they're going to bring, and I don't care. The only important thing is that they're going to bring something, right? And an example is that when they're learning management, they may bring something about teamwork or planning or whatever, right? But I do ask them to come up with a list of things and also bring one topic of discussion that they would like to talk about on a bit of a deeper level, right? And it works because what the note-taking does is that it switches the individual from sleeping through the book to seeking and presenting the learning, right? And this approach works because taking notes reinforces the learning, because they're not only, you know, talking to themselves on their heads, they're also using their hands, they're looking at something, and it's really a very fundamental part of this exercise, bringing notes. And on the topic of notes, I don't care what medium they use. Personally, I use a notepad. I'm an old school. People used a PowerPoint, people used Word documents, whatever. I really don't care. So yes, that's basically, I think, the it of it. And fundamentally, I call this approach guided self-study, because the manager keeps the direct accountable for making progress and also provides input on some topics. And that's different when the student does the study on their own. And it's just continuously making progress. There's one small note on the progress. Sometimes it's possible they don't bring something to one-on-one for weeks at a time, right? And usually I never get mad, and it's really not okay. But in fact, I just encourage them to find time, find maybe even put something on the calendar during the work week, so that they have this, you know, dedicated space. And it's okay to have breaks, because people are very busy.
Right. And I think that's a great point that you bring up. I mean, I think this whole concept of guided self-study really is the perfect balance, you know, especially when you pair it with validating in the one-on-ones. You have that weekly check-in. You have you're giving the direct some freedom on what they learn. You know, it's not structured like in school. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the guided part has to be there. I mean, there has to be some minimal amount of structure just to keep them motivated and moving. That's important. So how would you tie this to performance evaluation? Because I know that's going to be a natural question that comes up from the direct, you know, thinking, okay, my boss is asking me to do this. Clearly, there's an implication to performance at the end of the year when I get evaluated. So I think this inclination of folks that, you know, they're doing this for the first time, they'd say, well, I did this whole study thing. Am I going to get a good bonus out of this? Or am I going to get a good review? Or am I going to get promoted? You know, is this really going to put me in good graces? And, you know, there's also this concept. A lot of junior engineers come to me a lot and say, man, I did everything you told me to do. You know, why am I not exceptional? right. You know, and there's this concept of, like, you know, back in school, it's like, if I did all my assignments, you know, I get an A, or, you know, I do well. Right. Doesn't work that way all the time. I mean, it's part of it. So again, it comes kind of back to this academic analogy. You know, if I do all my work, won't I just get an A?
So that's a good question. It's a very, very deep question. And, There are a couple of things. First of all, I do always use the guided self-study as a part of the performance review. And just to make sure that it doesn't mean that if they don't learn anything new, the performance review is going to be bad. Because I've seen, you know, amazing engineers and managers who were just on top of everything, right? And it was me who had to learn from them, right? So the team not learning, not doing guided self-study should not be impacting their performance review. But at the same time, it also means that if they do, first of all, I definitely gonna mention it in their performance review. And I'm definitely gonna use it as a argument when we talk about bonuses. Because I can say, hey, not only did they do their job, but also learned the technology XYZ and applied it. And now I'm confident that I'm confident in them as engineers and as managers, right? So number one, there's definitely a good impact on the performance review, and it makes sense to be open about it when we offer something. It's just basically a carrot, right? If someone knows that, hey, I learned new good stuff that I can use at work, and it's going to be rewarded, right? So, but at the same time, I just want to repeat, we don't want to scare people into learning stuff by making it a required for the performance review, right? There has to be motivation besides the review, and the impact on the review is a side effect of them learning something new, not just doing the guided self-study. Right, it's just learning good stuff which can be applicable to their work. Right, and speaking of, just a side note on the study resources, I hope in the future podcasts I'm going to share my favorite resources that I use for developing engineers and managers. And for now, I think what's important when it comes to a guided self-study and learning resources is that it's very important to personalize the resources we are going to be offering them for the guided self-study, right? It's not like you as a manager develop a list of 10 books on a topic and just give everyone, you know, same list and just say, hey, you know, take this and come back in 6 months, right? Effective engineering managers must know their team, and they have to have a very good idea about areas that need their development, so they can tailor this maybe broad generic set of study resources to a particular individual.
Absolutely. That is so true. It's such a great point that you mentioned, that as a manager, you really have to develop a good set of resources that you can share. One of the things I try to do when I train managers for the first time is, once they start to go through a little bit of training and, you know, get comfortable with it, I say, start to build what your management portfolio is. And the management portfolio is not just your experiences, but it's what are the resources and, you know, knowledge that speaks to you the most? What is it that is going to generate your management philosophy? What are the things that you're going to practice? And I actually tell them to start writing that down, like keep a notebook, because I think it's really important that in becoming a better manager, you're taking a lot of input, and as I agree, read a lot of resources, but you're at the same time honing it to your personality, right? Crafting it to your personality. We don't want a manager to just, you know, be a copycat of Drucker or whatever other, you know, management guru is out there. You don't want to try to just repeat what you see in text. You want to tailor it to your style. And you do that by building up resources that speak to you. You know, what are the things that, what is in your arsenal? You know, what would be on your bookshelf? What are the different things you look at for inspiration? So when you see that you actually know as a manager, there is somebody on the team who's, you know, who's serious about a topic, who's interested and who really shares a common wavelength with you, and they think, you know, that can be reassuring. And I've actually had people come back and say to me, hey, I really enjoyed that resource you shared. And I actually found this other one too, by the way, I think you might like. So you start to have this exchange, this, you know, very professional exchange with your directs, and sometimes that leads down a path of great discussion on topics. And I think that's so fruitful for both sides. You know, you're helping, it's a really organic way of learning. And I couldn't agree more with that as well. So I think that's extremely cool stuff.
Yeah, true. Actually, I do remember that you once offered me, I don't remember what you were doing through guided self-study, but you offered me Managers Eat Last, I think that's the name of the book.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a great book. Idealistic, maybe. I'm like, I was reading this book like, man, can I meet those managers?
Right, Simon Sinek, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's great. I mean, and there's, you know, the other thing is there's so much out there today, you know, and it's at your fingertips. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that some people might call, you know, okay, self-help category.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But there's, you know, the thing is, I think there's a lot of passion for the topic. And especially when you're talking about building leadership and whatnot, there's a lot of reference points that may not have been there, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, totally. And on the topic of the resources, I think one of the things which I maybe I should stress it here now, that the topic of, you know, how to become a manager, how to be a good manager, and you know, how to grow in the next career step, you type it on Amazon and you will just drown, right? So in that sense, it's very important not to be formalistic about it. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to pick a book, you know, which has like gotten most reviews on Amazon, right? I would like to make a point of managers getting that resources if they don't have their own list. I already have my own list for at least for fundamental stuff, like especially when it comes to developing management skills. But they actually have to read it, right? They have to read it themselves and actually confirm to themselves that that's actually going to work, right? And this speaks to their own management philosophy, right? Because being formalistic here can be very dangerous, because you end up with, you know, direct telling your story through guided self-study process that you have no idea whether you are connecting with it or not, right? And that's not a comfortable feeling, that that's learning something that you really have no idea if it speaks to you or not, or maybe even not, doesn't speak at all, right? And another thing is that, while we are still on topic, is that as we go through the process, as they bring those notes, and yeah, what I have noticed, great guys and girls not only giving you like, you know, here's the list of five things, they actually say, hey, this is what really spoke to me, right? Sometimes, no matter how great the books are, no matter how great an expert the authors are, right? Sometimes they may be making solid points, which if applied blindly, they can be hurtful, right? It might sound strange, but I've seen situations like this. For example, I think I would just remember maybe at one of the HBR things that they say, well, just be yourself at work and, you know, say as it is. And one of my directs brought it to me, and I'm like, this is true if you have a boss whom you trust. And if you have a boss whom you don't trust, or you don't have a relationship, this is gonna get you fired in the worst case scenarios, right? So then, and that's what I think, this is where the one of the guided part of the self-study comes, that we actually have to watch and course correct sometimes, you know, provide a bit of more input on what's going on. So that's it. So what else?
Well, so speaking of lists, can you share a checklist with our listeners that they can use to verify that they're doing effective guided self-study?
Sure, and here's how you do a guided self-study effectively. So first of all, you need to identify the areas of development that your direct needs. Then you need to build a customized set of study materials. A third, you need to agree with your direct that on the plan that you're going to be doing it with them. Fourth, ask them to read 10-20 pages per week, and ask them to bring five things they've learned and the one topic to dig deeper to the next one-on-one. And six, each one-on-one spend 10 minutes with them telling you what they've learned. And the seven and the last, discuss one topic of their choosing in a bit deeper detail.
Fantastic. That's a great list. Thank you, Slava. This is really good stuff. Hope our listeners will be able to start using this tomorrow.
Thank you, Adam. And more good stuff is coming.